Hey everybody, my name's Ricky Bush. I'm a fully conceited alcoholic. Yep, that's my name, Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush, think about that, think about it. Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush. Puts me somewhere between a mouse and a president, you know. But it gives me something to be grateful for, which I never knew about when I came here. You know, when I got here, knew nothing about gratitude. But I've had something to be grateful for ever since I was christened. Mickey Bush. You know? I'm really glad they never named me Harry. You're a rotten lot laughing at that. You know, can you imagine going through life with a name like Harry Bush? Yeah. Actually, someone just told me Mickey Bush means M-I-C-K-E-Y. Maybe I can kill even you. Bringing us sober help, yeah. So, well, thank you for that introduction. Quite nice. That most lovely ladies never used to say that about me when I was drinking. Yeah. But I'm glad to be here, and I've enjoyed being here this morning and meeting a lot of old friends. And no wonder the old man left you. I love Rusty and his, Smile God Loves You tapes. And remember when we first started there, and he first started that up. And, you know, a lot of my friends are here today, Keith and Wayne, Joe, you know, just a lot of good friends, good people. Pam, who I've known all her sobriety. Even your man here that you introduced as Bill Smith, everybody's favourite. I don't know Bill, but anybody with initials of BS is all right by me. You know, So I'm glad to be here. I've been here before. I was here, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. Was anybody here when I was here before? Yeah? You know. I had a remarkable story that happened about that. I love the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, this book. Anybody read this book, by the way? It's a good idea. It's a good idea. I love the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I love having it by me. Yeah, I was here, 10 or 12 years ago. I can't remember when it was, but you know what happened? Why I continue to do this, and why I continue to encourage folk to do this, and why I was encouraged to carry on doing what we do here. Because we never know. When we're on this path, you know, we never know not only when we're going to get the message, but when we're going to be able to give the message. And remarkable things happen. Remarkable things happen. When I was here that last time, it was a bloody nightmare getting here. I flew into Vegas, and there were storms and thunderstorms and flash flooding and stuff like that. In fact, when we flew into Vegas that night, they closed the airport down right as we landed, and it was real shaky. And you know, I had a couple of ladies' escorts there to meet me and drive me to Laughlin here. And it was just belting down, terrible night. These two ladies, I don't know what their idea was. You know, they wanted to stop off at a hotel and like fall around. I said, like, are you nuts? You know, I said, apart from anything else, I said, where's Cinderella? Because you've got to be the ugly sisters. You know, and, I'm kind of like that. I say things like that, you know. But it was awful. We basically got here, and it was late, and I couldn't find the room, and I'd had nothing to eat, didn't even have a cup of coffee, and we got lost walking around this place, and eventually got in the room, and they were making announcements, or were supposed to have come in here and spoke, and, you know, it was late, pressure and tension, and it wasn't nice, at all. And I came in, I eventually found the room here, I think it was this room, as a matter of fact, and you guys all said, oh good, you're here, come on quick, we're all 20 minutes late, And I said, screw you lot, I want a cup of coffee. I want to like relax for like a couple of minutes. And you know, and I got up here onto the podium and was just aggravated and angst and angry and I was cussing and you're just obnoxiously like, you know, pissed off at everything and everybody. And now I got to be your inspirational AA speaker. You know? Anyway, I was like just wild and livid and cussing and oozing with angst, you know. Anyway, I eventually settled down and you guys got me a cup of coffee and was nice to me and, you know. Anyway, I did the talk and that went all right. And then afterwards, you know, I went back and spoke to my other friends, Earl, and some other people were here then, and we had like a nice weekend. So, on Monday morning, I'm in my office and I get a phone call. This lady, I don't know whether you're here now, but if you are, make yourself known to me, because she was all like emotional and kind of weepy. And I said, well, what's the matter with you? What's up? She went, oh, she said, we're so grateful you saved my daughter's life. I said, I don't even know you. I don't even know you, do I? How can I save your life? You know? She went, we were there on Friday night when you spoke there at Laughlin. I went, yeah, is that right? She said, yeah. She said, my daughter is 23 years old and she said she was dying. She's dying and she didn't want to know anything about recovery and she hates AA and she hated treatment. We've had her in all different kinds of treatment. We've spent a fortune on her and she just wants to shoot dope and be a junkie and she didn't like it. She said we took her to the convention here at the Riverside thinking that it may be something different that may attract her. She said, but she didn't like it and we were sitting around waiting and you were 20 minutes late. She said, and she said, screw this, Mum. She said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go and shoot some dope. She said, and as we just got to the door, you got up to the podium and started cussing. And she said, my daughter turned around at me and said, wait a minute, Mum, I ain't heard nobody like this in AA before. She said, and we sat down and she said, by the end of the talk, she'd peed in her pants. She said, and she said she's got 3 days clean today. So I don't know why I'm here, and I don't know why you're here, but I do know that you taught me well, and you taught me to show up and do what we do around here, and I'm delighted to do that. And this week I just celebrated 22 years clean and sober. Thank you. And you know what, I'm glad I've grown in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm glad I haven't outgrown the simple basic things that you taught me when I first came around. You know, you taught me to keep coming back, you said. The first things I ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous was keep coming back. Keep coming back. I had a hearing problem. You know, guy said keep coming back and I said, what? He went, keep coming back. I thought he said, keep coming on my back. I went, what? He said, keep coming back. I said, what for? He said, we love you. I said, I bet you do. When dudes tell you they love you in West Hollywood, it's kind of a different meaning, you know what I mean? But you taught me to keep coming back and simple basic things. And you told me this was about not drinking and that not drinking was the key. And it seems glib around here for people to say it's no longer about not drinking. You know? Well, I got news for you. Keith, who's here today, saved my life with that very statement. At 10 years of sobriety, I was in the fetal position on the floor, eating the carpet in so much pain I couldn't stand it. Rapt of us. And you know what? Eventually I called Keith. And you know what he told me? He said, it's all about a drink. I said, no it ain't. I don't need the last thing I think about it. He said, I'm telling you, it's all about a drink. I said, well, I don't feel like drinking. I don't. He said, this is all about a drink, he said. It's all about the disease putting you in so much pain,
you all want a drink over at the Ease and Comfort of a couple of drinks. I'm like, whoa. Now, I've been in this state a long time, and nothing had shook me out of it. But when it became obvious this was about a drink, and I'm a fully conceited alcoholic, I went, wow. He said, yes. I said, well, what shall I do? He said, you get back to basics. He said, you get back to doing the simple things that you did before. Never mind about Mickey Bush, Mr. Circuit Speaker on a pedestal, traveling the world like yakking it up. What do, you get yourself in one of them piece of shit cars that you got, and you go around and you pick up those newcomers like you used to. And then you like take them for a cup of coffee and a piece of pie afterwards, and you deliver them back home or wherever they gotta go. And you do that basic simple stuff like you did before. And you know what? I started coming out of it right then. And I got through that. Some bright spark, some well-meaning, I hope, person said to me, well, what step wasn't you working? I said, why don't you piss off, you know? It was because I was working such a strong program that I was able to come through that without having to think about it. And that's what we got here, folks. I've learned that. That's what we got here. If you be alcoholic of my kind, alcoholic of our kind, the beautiful book says, you know, that's what we got. We got a way of life that we can come through anything without having to drink over it. Not that the fan ain't going to get hit, because the fan does get hit. Ask anybody who's been sober a long time, they'll tell you about that. The fan gets hit, but it just ain't my fan anymore. You know, I ain't in charge of the fan. And you know what? That's proved true. I'm a real alcoholic. I'm a real alcoholic, and I never knew I was an alcoholic when I got here. Well, I've stayed clean and sober 22 years. That's like, it's incredible to even think about it for me. You know, I'm certified insane. I'm insane. I just come back from London. I was just in Europe last week, and I'm certified insane in London. I've been in and out of Nutwards for the criminal insane a great part of my life. I'm living proof. You ain't the sickest person in this room today. You know, and I'm living proof that they let anybody in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? And to be 22 years clean and sober, and I'm not the same guy who came in here, you know, on January the 15th, 1983, broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. You know? That's when I arrived in Alcoholics Anonymous, on January the 15th, 1983. Is that a beeper I can hear? Well, I got sober. The only reason we allow beepers and phones to be left on, unless you're a half measures merchant and don't turn it off, just turn it on vibrate or turn it down, like a half measure, in case somebody really important calls you. The only reason we allow like phones to be left on is if you're expecting a call from the local VD clinic. And they only call if you've got a positive test. So if your phone or beeper goes off, we sympathise, but you ain't getting laid today. I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983. So sick that I never knew I was sick. Do you know how sick that is? That's really sick. I was so sick, I never knew I was sick. And if you're as sick as I was when I got here, so sick that you come into a room like this with several hundred alkies in it, good alkies seems to me, and you scan the room, because if you're an alkie of my kind from where I came from, you learn to become a good scanner, because you've got to be able to scan any room you go in to see who's going to be the next victim, you know. And you scan the room and you think, well, I ain't as sick as him. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you're in a room full of alkies thinking you ain't as sick as someone else? That's really sick. So if you're in here today wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alkie or not, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. You know? Really sick. And I never knew.
I never knew. When I got here, I never knew. I never had a clue. I know you guys do, but I never knew nothing about nothing. I never knew nothing about nothing, thinking I knew everything about everything. Because I know everything, you know that. I'm a real alcoholic. You know, when my butt's on a bar stool, I can tell you anything about anything, because I know everything there is to know. No matter what you've done, or who you've done it with, or where you've been, or who you've done, well, no matter what it is, I've done it better. You want to know how the space shuttle blew up? I'll tell you. Because I know. In fact, I should have been on it. I only missed being on it by that much. I missed being on it because I was drinking. I was very busy drinking. Alcoholics are very busy drinking, you know. But I don't know nothing about nothing, thinking I know everything about everything. On January the 15th, 1983, I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a kind of a scenario about how I got there, but I didn't know it at the time, but I hit bottom on January the 15th, 1983. And I didn't know what hitting bottom was then, and surprise to surprise, it's not mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Hitting bottom is not mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and so there was no reference point for me to make. Some of you knew that or not, but it is. Or it isn't. And January the 15th, 1983, came out of another 3-day blackout. I'm a blackout drinker, by the way. Any other blackout drinkers here? Yeah, and the rest of you lying mothers, I know blackout drinkers, aren't you? Yeah! I didn't even know what a blackout was. Been blacking out all my life, didn't know what it was. Yeah. I came out of a 3-day blackout, you know, same as usual, broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. Yeah. I don't know if you relate being a blackout drinker. I never ever came out of a blackout happy, joyous, and free. You know what I mean? I never ever came out of a blackout like doing something nice for somebody, or, you know, heading up a charity show, or giving a kid a toy, or with more money than I started with, you know. I was always, like the beautiful book describes, paid, P-A-I-D, pitiful and incomprehensibly demoralized, you know. Never ever had a convenient blackout either. You know, it was always in some, you know, state of mind where I've screwed up again, like the book says, you know, at the inappropriate time, you know. Blackout. I don't know how much to drink to go into a blackout, and I don't know how much not to drink so I don't go into a blackout. I don't know how much to drink to go into a thin one, a short one, a long one, a fat one. I just drink and I go into a blackout. I've no control over that, or no predetermination. If I could, I would. I mean, I can think of nothing better around about Wednesday than a nice little 3-day blackout, see me up to the weekend. You know what I mean? It never worked like that, you know. And, you know, we laugh, you know, blacking out. I've been having blackouts all my life and never knew what they was, you know. I'm a miracle drinker. Any other miracle drinkers here? You know what I mean by a miracle drinker? Anybody ever go out and start drinking and have a miracle develop in front of their very eyes? No? Nobody ever go out drinking and drink somebody good looking? You know? Nobody ever go out and start drinking and some old wretch turns into the delight of your life? Yeah. Sometimes you end up next to it, don't you? Ended up next to it a few times, but one particular time I went, "Oh my God, get the hell out of here, get out!" She said, "You get out, this is my house." And kicked me out. Another time I came out of a blackout, just been released from a maximum security prison, and I got released from that prison as physically clean and sober as I stand before you right now. 6 weeks later, I come out of a blackout. I'm in chains in front of the judge on a murder trial, on a murder charge, and I don't know what's happened, and I've killed a guy, and I have no idea what I've done or where I am or what I've been doing. Mr. Perfectionist doesn't know what he's been doing, doesn't know what he's done. Are there any other perfectionists here? Yeah. Perfectionists. Got to be perfect. You know, when I was going through that trial and biting into my arms to see if I could determine what was whatever. I couldn't. I was so mentally defaulted in 6 weeks, folks, from being physically clean and sober. And within 6 weeks, you know, I'm so befogged. I can't. I'm so confused. I can't determine whether I'm alive. I don't know whether I'm alive, whether I'm dead, whether this is what's going on. I'm flying into my arms to see, well, what can I get a reaction of some kind? And when you're in there, and they hung you then in England and on a murder charge, you got found guilty, and they locked me up in a cage because you've got to be on 24-hour observation, and they have a guard that stands in front of you and watches you 24 hours, and they put me in this cage. Not a nice cage like Hannibal Lecter has, you know. And they just observe me, and I'm pissing and shitting on myself, and barking at the moon, and puking everywhere because I'm a puker. Any other pukers here? Yeah. Ain't no little ass puker like me. Directional puker, me. Whoosh, you know it. Large chunk. I'm in the cage, and I don't know what's going on. I'm going in and out of insanity, and the guard is. And I just on reflection, reflecting back, you know, I often wonder if the visiting committee or the magistrates that come round the prisons and what have you. Incidentally, when I was just back in England just now, just this month, I went back to that same prison and saw that same cage and did a panel in that same prison, an Alcoholics Anonymous panel. But I often think if the visiting magistrates and committee were walking around the prison that day and came by and saw me in the cage and had said to that guard, well, what's the story with this young man? And the guard might have said something to the effect of, oh, him in the cage, barking at the moon, puking everywhere, pissing and shitting everywhere. Him on the murder charge? Him? Oh, him? He's a perfectionist, him. He's known as a perfectionist. That's where alcohol takes a guy like me. Yeah. I get here, I don't know nothing about nothing, I don't know I'm alcoholic, I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, I came out of a 3-day blackout, and what happened for me on that day, I know today in retrospect, was that I hit bottom, which was different than whatever any other day that I'd come out of a blackout, which was many times over many years. I didn't know it at the time, but I do today. You guys have taught me well. You told me more would be revealed. On January the 15th, 1983, Pam loves this story, that I called up a friend who was visiting from Spain, international businessman. He calls himself International Crook, is what he is. And he told me to piss off, he said, just piss off. I didn't like that very much. I didn't know why he was talking to me like that. But there was another guy who I didn't know why, but he'd been hanging around a lot of that time. He was an English rock and roll singer. I'd known him a long time, but he wasn't sort of one of our inner kind of circle. But he'd just been around a lot. And I called him, you know, an alcoholic with a phone. And he was laughing, and I said, what are you laughing at? He said, you. I said, why? He said, because you do weird shit, that's why. I said, what do you mean? And he laughed, a big belly laugh. I went, well, you know us, we're delicate dudes, aren't we? We don't like being laughed at, do we? You know. And I said, what are you laughing at for crying out loud? He said, I ain't had a drink for 2.5 years. I said, ain't you? Why is that? I never knew you wasn't drinking. He said, because I used to drink like you. I went, what do you mean? And he laughed again, a big belly laugh. I went, why do you keep laughing? He said, have you spoken to your friend from Spain? I said, yeah, told me to piss off. And he laughed. I went, will you quit laughing, for Christ's sake? What the hell's going on with you? He said, you don't remember what you got up to over the weekend, do you? I said, no, what? He went, well, it all started after you peed in that lady's dinner. I said, what? He said, don't you remember your friend was going to the Smart Beverly Hills restaurant, and in the middle of the restaurant you got all chicked up at some old game, he said, and you got up and walked across the store, racked it out and did it right in her spaghetti. Oh my God. Because I didn't remember peeing in no old lady's dinner, you know, and I would do shit like that and I wouldn't remember it. And I would go back in that restaurant or club or whatever the situation was a couple of days later maybe, and they'd go, oh my God, what the hell are you doing back here? How come we've got the balls to come back here after what you did? And I'd go, what do you mean? Because I wouldn't know. And they'd call the cops, I'd be in trouble again or something of that nature, you know. And that's what I was doing all the time. I was 40 years of age, broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted, walking around West Hollywood with less than $10 in my pocket. It was the 15th of January, 1983. And the $10 was the money I'd left over from the money that I'd leached off of my disabled old mum. My mum's a registered disabled. Actually, she's no longer with us. She died this year and got to go back to see her like I've been doing every year. But, you know, sons are able to leech money off of their disabled old mums and to get me over Christmas and the New Year. And there it was, 15th of January, and I had less than $10 walking around Hollywood trying to look cool, you know. Didn't seem very cool later on when, you know, spending money you'd leeched off a disabled old lady, you know. But I made those amends before she passed on, and I'm glad you guys taught me how to do that. You know, and on January the 15th, 1983, I was so hurt and so in so much pain. And that's what I brought to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know what you brought here, but I brought just a mountain of hurt and hate. Hurt and hate, that's what I brought to Alcoholics Anonymous. Hurt and hate. I hurt and I hate. I hate everything and everybody. I hate women. I can't stand women. I hate homos and queers and faggots and anybody different. Hate it. Hate black people, totally racist and prejudiced. I'm from London, England, living in Los Angeles, and I hate foreigners. I can't stand me. I hate myself beyond. And guess what? Alcohol ain't working anymore. Alcohol ain't doing its job anymore. Alcohol ain't making it okay for me to be in that state. Alcohol ain't changing my perception of the reality of the situation I was in. That's what I brought to Alcoholics Anonymous. Just a whole mountain of hurt and hate. And when I was at my most unlovable, you guys loved me the most. I got here as a result of hitting bottom. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't have any idea at the time. But I do today. You know, I looked for hitting bottom in the program and it's not there. But I stuck with some winners, like you guys told me, keep coming back, and I did. And I hung out with the winners, and you guys eventually described what had happened to me on January the 15th, 1983. I hear folk talking about hitting bottom, and I ask a lot of folk, you know, what is it about hitting bottom? Because it's not mentioned in the program. But hitting bottom is H-I-T-B-O-T-T-O-M. Hurting inside, totally burnt out, turn to our master. And that's what happened on January the 15th. A lot of folk, they think that hitting bottom is how much they lost, like we were described with our bag lady here. You know? And we think hitting bottom is how much we lost and how far down we Do you know what just sprung in my mind? I just spilled the water, but in my mind I went, I'm glad it weren't a drink. One of us is very sick. That's all right. I'll just step in it. Thank you. Yeah. I ask folk all the time about hitting bottom, and people talk about hitting bottom as if it's, you know, how far down we sunk and where we ended up and how much we lost, and it's not. We think it is, but it's not. In fact, in our meetings, we say things like, everybody's bottom is different. It better not be different.
Well, we say that dialogue because it's lip-flapping party line bullshit that we spread around here. But we have a lot of that crap. But, you know, hitting bottom better not be different for everybody. It better be the same. If we understand what hitting bottom truly is, as we all have, and as I know that you have the same as me, because you're here. That's why I know you're here, so he must have been there, because you're here. And hitting bottom is not about how much we lost and how far down we sank and where we ended up. You know, all the devastation and all the degradation that we went through. Sometimes those outside circumstances and conditions of our life enable us to become capable of hitting bottom, but in and of themselves they're not the bottom, though we think they are. And when I ask folk about their bottom, they say the most amazing things. And although Bill never wrote it in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, 15 years later he did put it in the 12 and 12 in the very first step, where he wrote, why all this insistence that every alcoholic must hit bottom first? Not kind of cutesy along the way, first. And you know what? I asked a couple of folk here today. One girl, I said to her, well, what was your bottom, love? She said, well, I was feet to the curb, hustling the Broadway, prostituting myself, trying to earn a dollar. I said, that wasn't your bottom. She said, well, I think it was. I said, I don't care what you think. I said to the dude, what was your bottom, pal? Give me your bottom. He said, that's easy. He said, I was locked up in a penitentiary, married to Bubba. I said, that wasn't your bottom. He said, it felt like it was. You got bad minds, you got bad minds. See, those outside circumstances and conditions of our life are not what hitting bottom's all about, though we think they are because of our materialistic way of thinking and my way of... But hitting bottom is not about that. Hitting bottom is an inside job, not an outside circumstance. And hitting bottom, it's not about those outside circumstances and conditions that we describe our bottom as. Hitting bottom is that inside stuff. And that's what happened to me on January the 15th, 1983. On January the 15th, 1983, hurting so bad, just in desperation and despair, just crippled mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, just defunct in every department. Without knowing what I was saying, and without knowing who I was saying it to, and without knowing what the circumstances was or the consequence of what I was saying was going to be, and certainly not what the results was going to be, I can remember hurting so much and just going, help me, please help me, what is wrong with me? I can't stand anymore. What am I going to do? Anybody relate to that? And asked for help. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. Because years ago I'd abandoned him, but he hadn't abandoned me. And it just seemed as though I was looking over my shoulder and he seemed to say to me, Nick, you silly bugger, I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over that 12-step program. Sent me to you. I asked for help, and he sent me to you. That's why I know God and the power are different. See, we do ourselves an injustice in many respects, certainly for the atheists and agnostics and those floundering members that come here, and those new folk. If you're new here, several hands went up as newcomers. Newcomer, N-E-W-C-O-M-E-R. Nothing else worked. Completely out of manageability, enter recovery. If you're a newcomer here, very welcome. Please keep coming back. You know, and we say things like the God stuff that puts a lot of us off. And it would have done me as well. Because I'd long ago abandoned any idea of God. I was raised in a religion.
and I don't knock anybody's religion, and I don't knock anybody's anything, because I've learned some stuff around here today, but it didn't work, and it hadn't worked for a long time. And when I started drinking at 16, I abandoned all my religious practices and all my spirituality and all the sacraments and the places I used to go. I started drinking and stopped doing all the spirituality. I didn't know it, that way back then, that the disease I got, potential alcoholic that I was, got me to abandon God and spirituality so that it could become the power in my life. And along the path of life, I abandon all God and spirituality and carry on drinking and drugging, so that I end up here broke, busted, disgusted, with no God in my life as far as alcohol is concerned, powerless over this disease. And this disease is the power in my life, and dictating and dominating every move I make, and it gets me to do what I exactly don't want to do. And I can't rely on the fact that I don't want to do it. I can't not drink just because I don't want to. I can't not drink because I just say no. You know, I gotta not want to drink, but I can't rely on that. I gotta not want to drink and then do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And I can't not do it just because I don't want to do it. I gotta not want to do it and then do these steps and this work so that otherwise the disease I got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. When I absolutely don't want to do it, when every fibre of my body is against doing it, when every desire I've got in the world is to not do it, I do it anyway. Anybody else do that? Yeah, no shit. I can't stop doing it, and once I'm doing it, I can't stop doing it. I can't stop from doing it because of the obsession of the mind, and once I'm doing it, the allergy of the body described as a phenomenon of craving. A craving is a feeling beyond my mental control that makes me incapable of stopping from doing it. I can't stop from doing it, and once I'm doing it, I can't stop doing it. Anybody else relate to that? Yeah, no shit. I say, I ain't going to drink today, does he? He says, come on Mick, we'll be drinking by lunchtime. See, I don't know this, so I've got to not want to do it and do these steps in this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I don't do these steps in this work, or I ain't done these steps in this work, I will do what I don't want to do, because the disease I've got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. Do you think I knew that shit when I got here? Never had a clue. Never had a clue. Didn't know nothing from nothing. You know, and I hit bottom and I get, and it's almost like the old man just as guiding me, guides me to you. I sat down at my coffee table. There was a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, third edition, meeting directly on top of it. You guys had given it to my roommate. Girl who got drunk driving charges, got sentenced 90 meetings in 90 days. You guys had given her a book and a meeting directory. She didn't want it, but it was sitting on the coffee table, and when the master, you know, when the pupil's ready, the master appears, doesn't he? And I sat down at that coffee table and just flicked through that directory, and there was a meeting I could walk to down on San Vicente Hill in West Hollywood. I was living up there in West Hollywood, a very special part of town, West Hollywood. You know it, some of you know it, I know that. Commonly known as Boys Town. You know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the kind of town where if you drop your wallet on Santa Monica Boulevard, you've got to kick it up to Sunset before you can pick it up, you know what I mean? If you're gay, don't be offended, nobody cares. I walk down to this meeting, there's two dudes outside. I don't know nothing about the love of one alkie for another. I don't know nothing about alcoholics doing commitments. I don't know nothing about, you know, nothing. Don't know nothing about nothing. I approach this meeting, there's two dudes. One dude steps forward with his hand out like that. I went, what do you want? He said, I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, what? He said, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, what? And the other guy said, keep coming back. I told you what I thought of that, and he said about that. I said, do what? He said, keep coming back. I said, what for? He said, we love you. Ugh. I snuck off round them, walked into the meeting. I'm not kidding you, I'm one of those alcoholics. I know it's not everybody's story, but it is mine. I got to Alcoholics Anonymous and went, wow, wow, what is this? I walked into this meeting, they smoked then, it was all full of smoke and people talking and talking and talking and laughing and talking and went, wow, what is this? Holy shit, what the hell's going on in here? And people, and a guy, an English rock and roll singer I'd known for years, come walking across the room. And he come, I went, what are you doing here? And he put his arms around me. I went, oh, what are you doing? And he went, giving you a hug. I went, get away, you goddamn pervert, get away! And two hugs. He said, we've been saving you a seat. I said, what for? He said, talk to these dudes. He said, I said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm leading the meeting. I said, what? He said, I'm 22 months sober. I wasn't impressed. I went, ugh, step back. I thought I was going to catch something. Ugh. And he went, these dudes will help you hang out with these. I went, I don't want to hang out with no dudes. But they wouldn't shut up. You know, you got a shaky, smelly newcomer and you just latch on to them. You know? Newcomers are often surprised how we even know they're new. You go up to a new guy and you peek your hand out and you go, hi, I'm Mickey, you're new, right? And they go, how do you know I'm new? Like Frank talked about last night down at his group, I've been down there several times, got a new folk down there, good group. Didn't he do a good talk last night, Frank? Yeah, good talk. You know, but they wouldn't shut up. And they were talking, talk, yeah, all right, talk, yeah, all right, talk. And all of a sudden, one of them said, you're an alcoholic. I went, what? He went, you're an alcoholic. I said, what? She said, you're an alcoholic. I said, that's a bloody mean thing to say to somebody. Say a thing like that to a dude. What do you mean, you're an alcoholic? Why'd you say that? Because if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a bloody duck. Just because he's been taking some shit and thinks he's an eagle, no, you're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack, he went. Holy shit. Holy, what is this? This is the goddamn funny bone, man. Guy's hugging on you and like, ducks and eagles and shit. Wow. Then I had one of them conversations you have with yourself. Anybody relate to the you know, back and forth and the voices? Who relates to the voices that go off in your head? You know the voices that you hear? You know them voices that talk to you? You know the voices I'm talking about? Them voices that just said, what voices? Them bloody voices. Yeah, them voices. And they just talk you, drive you crazy. Got a drink to drown the voices, for Christ's sake. Alcoholic, he said you're an alcoholic. Holy shit, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm crazy. Wait a minute. Alcoholic? Crazy? They've been locking me up in nut wards all my life. I'm not nuts, he said I'm alcoholic. Wait a minute, alcoholic? I thought, alcoholic? He said I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholic. Holy shit. Alcoholic. Wait a minute. I ain't nuts. I'm alcoholic. Far out. I'm alcoholic. I ain't crazy. I'm alcoholic. Far out. Wow. Being alcoholic was like a step up for me. I went, wow. Far out. I couldn't wait to run home and tell my best friend, the one who told me to piss off. I did. I went home after the meeting. I said, hey, guess what? I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. He went, no shit. I thought he was going to be surprised. Well, no one surprised, only me. Illusionary thinking, the beautiful book talks about. Well, I've loved being alcoholic ever since. You know, I love being alcoholic, and I'm even gladder today at 22 years clean and sober that I'm alcoholic than I've ever been. It's more thrilling and more exciting and more exhilarating to be among you today than it's ever been. And you know what? The simple things, I'm a meetings man. I go to meetings. And you guys said keep coming back. And you know, I was thinking about it. At 22 years, I can't remember the last 2 days in a row that I didn't go to a meeting. I can vaguely remember an odd day here and there that I may not have gone to a meeting, but I go to meetings. I go to lots of meetings. I'm blessed and able to do that. But I can't remember the last 2 days in a row I didn't go to a meeting. And I just come back, I just hit a dozen countries. And every country I went to, I go to meetings. I always do that. You know, I love going to meetings. You know, I've spoken on 7 continents since I've been sober and over the last few years. Everywhere, Africa, Australia, Asia, just come back from Asia. I was in North and South America, Europe. I started the conferences in Iceland, which is as close as we can get out there to the Nordic. You know, 7 continents have carried this message on. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, no one had talked to me. I had no one to play with. You know? If you don't think that gives me a big fat feeling, try getting it. It seems like glib to say time don't count around here. Well, it bloody counts for me, I'll tell you that. Time don't mean nothing, time don't count. In my experience, people who say time don't count either ain't got any or ain't done any. It sure makes a lot of difference to me. I know why we say certain things, like the newcomer's the most important person in the room. I don't say that. The newcomer ain't the most important person in any room I'm in, I'll tell you that. And not only that, Alcoholics Anonymous, nobody's more important than anybody else. We're all equal here, and that's what I love about being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just a small part of a great whole. I love that. The biggest thing I ever done was become a small part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love that. And you guys taught me that. I never worked that out for myself. You know, I got to have an alcoholic. Holy shit. You said, let go and let God. I said, what? You said, turn it over to God. I said, what? You said, pray to God. I said, pray to God? If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. I've been ducking God for years, me. Where I was raised, you know, God was going to get me for everything. Everything I did, God was going to get me for it. Didn't matter what it was, God was going to get me for it. I couldn't even play with the old ding-a-ling, for Christ's sake. They said, leave that alone. If you play with that, God will strike you blind. I went, whoa. Well, you know I did anyway. When I found out how good it felt, I thought, well, I'll risk my life. But I don't know nothing about the sunlight of the Spirit or a loving God or any of that stuff. My greatest asset today. Yeah, I'm a very wealthy man financially and materially today, but my greatest asset is that loving God you taught me about today. The God that I can, you know. And we've got a wonderful thing that we know about here. In the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous on page 93, it says, he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. Now that's conditional, my friends. Provided it makes sense to him. Can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. That's a condition. This book that says of itself, our book is meant to be suggestive only. May have bloody well meant to be suggestive only, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions, and rules to follow. And one of those is he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. You know, that reminded me of the judge who said, yes, Mr. Bush, you can have bail, provided you pay your fine. I had to pay the fine as a condition of getting bail. I couldn't turn around to the judge and say, I'll pay it when I'm ready. Because he'd have said, yeah, well, you'll bloody get out when I'm ready. It was conditional. So he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. Well, guess what? We've learned some things around here, haven't we? We've learned, for example, that no matter what kind of God you got, or no matter what kind of concept you come up with a God of your own understanding, we don't care. No one cares. Nobody gives a crap what kind of God you got. because all the gods, you know, they've all got at least one thing in common. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever you've got of the concept of God, it's got something in common with all the others. That's why this power that we've got here, right here, right now, this power, and bear in mind, in the first two steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's no mention of God, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Muhammad. Higher power's not even mentioned in the first two steps. And we get all this confusion about, you know, like in the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore me to sanity. We automatically treat that as God, as being God. And there's no, and that puts a lot of people off. And it's not saying God, and it's not saying higher power, it's saying a power greater than self. You see? And in the first two steps, there's no mention of God, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, or any other God you mean. That's why this power that we do have here, that's of God and from God, but isn't God, works for us all. Works for the atheists, works for the agnostics, works for anybody. Doesn't matter what it is. See, because even if you don't believe in God, or even if you can prove there ain't a God, we don't care. You can't deny the power. You can't deny the power that's in this room right here, right now. Several hundred alcoholics sitting here, you know, in a bright sunny morning, all sober. There must be a power in this room right here, right now, allowing several hundred alcoholics to not be drinking right now. Because if we ain't got a power in this room right here, right now, counteracting the power of the disease that I'm admitting that I'm powerless over, in and of myself, I'm powerless over this disease. This disease is more powerful than me. I'm powerless over it, but it's not powerless over me. It can, does, will, and has kicked my ass and make me do what I already don't want to do. I'm powerless over it, but it's not powerless over me. And so in order for me to stay sober, I've got to have a power greater than myself to counteract the power of the disease that I'm admitting that I'm powerless over. Now, if there ain't a power in this room right here, right now, enabling several hundred alcoholics to stay sober this morning, when we get up out of here, we've got to go and get drunk. I don't think Laughlin's ready for several hundred alcoholics to go and get drunk right now. You know? For all the gods, no matter what kind of god you got, all have at least one thing in common. You know what that is? That's why we don't care what kind of god you come up with. You can come with anything you like. You can have a Catholic god, a Jewish god, a Hindu god, a Muslim god. You can have a leg of the chair god. You can have a doorknob god. You can have whatever kind of god you like. No one cares. Because they've all got at least one thing in common. You know what that is? All the gods, no matter what kind of god you got, all send their alkies here. Don't they? That's good cheer, isn't it? All the gods send their alkies here. Because here's the power that they provided for an alky like me to not have to drink, which is restoring me to sanity. Why do I know that? Because I know about insanity. I've been locked up in places cuckoos wouldn't bloody fly over, man. But that's not the insanity that you guys talk about. You guys talk about the insanity of repeating the same behavior and expecting a different result. Drinking. And so if that's the insanity, to repeat the same behavior and expect a different result, drinking, to be restored to sanity means not drinking. So here was a power right here, right now, that will enable me to not have to drink. Alcoholics Anonymous, fellowship, 12-step spiritual program, a way of life, a design for living, you know, that we can absolutely depend upon. And I'm living proof that it'll work for at least 22 years. God, I love this program. You know, why would I leave you? I ain't leaving you. I'm staying right here. Right here, right now, where I am, where I belong. My name's Mickey Bush. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I know what's wrong with me, and I know what to do about it. That's a lot of shit right there, and I never knew that when I got here. I didn't even know why I drank. Being an alcoholic, I drink. In the beautiful book, it said alcoholics like the effect produced by alcohol. I don't have a problem with that, but I never thought about it. I just drink. Where I come from, everybody drinks. I didn't know anybody who didn't drink. Everybody drank, and they drank like me, or I drank like them. Everybody drank. We drank if the team won, we drank if the team lost, and if it was a tie, we drank till there was a result. You know, I don't know why we drank. Everybody just drank. I'm from Northwest London. You probably picked up on that, right?
this is the way I speak, folks. Alcohol didn't do this to me. You know, everybody drank. I never thought about why we drank. We never had a reason to drink, never had a reason not to drink. Everybody just drank. I come in here, all you folk know why you do what you're doing. You know, I hear people talk about it in meetings. I hear people talk about why they drink. They drink because they can't stand who they are. And they drink because they couldn't stand the pain. And they drink because they was hiding behind their feelings. And they drink because they had all these issues. You know, like, pass the tissues, I got issues. You know? I think, at what stage of the game do you discover that? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine going into any pub that I drank in. I can't imagine going into Frank Keane's pub and saying, oh, bartender, hit me with a triple shot of your best booze, because I can't stand who I am and I want to cover up the pain tonight. It never happened. It never happened. You guys all know about that. I don't know nothing about that. You know, but later on the duck and the eagle story started making sense to me because more got revealed. And that's what it is about me that makes me an alcoholic. That's why I declare I'm a fully conceded alcoholic, because there's two first steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's two first steps in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous. It's on page 30. It says, we learned we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we were alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. It's the first step in recovery, but it's not the first of the 12 steps, which is a totally different step, and people get it confused. I hear it in meetings all the time. Well-meaning old-timers tell a newcomer he's done the first step as soon as he sits his ass in a seat and he raises his hand as an alcoholic. Well-meaning, I'm sure, but it's lip-flapping party line bullshit. That ain't what's the truth. You know, admitting that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives are unmanageable, is a totally different thing to fully conceding to me and myself that I'm an alcoholic. There's two first steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't know that. That's why it says we learned. We learned we had to fully concede to my innermost self that we were alcoholic. Think about it. What are we actually saying in that first step of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first of the 12? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. What are we actually saying? Are we saying that we, as a program, as a fellowship, have no power over alcohol? Is that what we're saying? Are we saying that we, joined together in unity, have no power over alcohol? Is that what we're saying? Because if we are, we're screwed. And if we're not saying that, well then we must be saying that we, joined together in unity, do have a power over alcohol. Me plus you is a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. Together we could do what I couldn't do alone. I couldn't stay sober, you couldn't stay sober, but together we could stay sober. We could do what I couldn't do. In and of myself, I was powerless over a disease I don't even know I got that makes me do what I already don't want to do, and I can't feed it on my own, and I'm in the depth of the darkness of the disease, defunct in every department, and any time it wants me, it just wheels me in like a goddamn fish. And I can't feed it in and of myself. But I come here, and me plus you is a power greater than me, and we can do, and I didn't realize, but it's written in all spiritual writings. Wherever you read spiritual writings, it's written, when any two are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst. Is that new information to anybody here? No. When any two come together for the purpose of recovery, alcoholics, we know this, we didn't write this, but we depend on it probably more than any other society in the world. When any two are gathered in my name, there I will come in your midst. When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, God comes in amongst us and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it. I liken it to this water I'm drinking. Life-sustaining. We depend on water. We've got to drink water. It's life-sustaining. We depend upon it. The formula for water is H2O. H2O, that's common knowledge. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, water. Life-sustaining. That's what we got here. Two drunks, one God, power. Power over alcohol. That's what we got here. Cheers. It's think I knew that when I got here. I never had a clue. I don't know why we walk around Alcoholics Anonymous claiming we're powerless. Everybody does. I don't know why. Walking around heard it today. Powerless, 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 powerless. Everybody's powerless. So power, little powerless. Powerless, powerless, powerless. Powerless over everything. Powerless over people, places, and things. Powerless, powerless, powerless. Why do we do that? In and of myself, I was helpless and hopeless and powerless, but I'm not in and of myself anymore. That's why if you read the first step like I do, it says, we admitted we were powerless, but my life had become unmanageable. Not that I am powerless and it is unmanageable. In and of myself, I was helpless and hopeless, but I'm not in and of myself anymore. That's why me, if you take the word me, M-E, and flip it over, what does it become? We, that's right. We, flip it over, come from me to us. Yeah. Why do we say we're powerless? You know, in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, powerless is only mentioned once in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Once the word powerless is mentioned, and that's in the very first step, where we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, our lives have become unmanageable. It's the only time powerless is mentioned. Power is mentioned 66 times. 66 times power is mentioned, once powerless is mentioned. New power has flowed in. We have recovered and been given the power to help the next guy. Praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry it out. Power, power, power. Powerless people can't do the steps. If you're an alcoholic and can't do the steps, you're screwed. Why do we walk around claiming we're powerless? 66 times power is mentioned, once powerless is mentioned. That is so alcoholic. If you stand on the firing line like I do every day and work with new folk and stand in the trenches, you know, you'll see folk. You see a new guy. If 66 people tell him, don't do that, but there's one person he can turn to who seems to be getting away with it, who do you think he takes note of? 66 times power is mentioned, once powerless is mentioned, and we're all going, powerless, powerless, poor little powerless, 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 powerless. I don't do that. Why would I do that? My beautiful book tells me to make a conscious contact with the power. In and of myself, I was helpless and hopeless, but I ain't in and of myself today. I thought about it. You know, I come here. Here I'm in a 12-step spiritual fellowship. You guys introduced me to a big book. B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats their old knowledge. In the beautiful book was a program. P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. Message. M-E-S-S-A-G-E. Me, step, sponsor, and God every day. Holy shit. It's a 12 steps program, STEPS, STEPS, solution to every problem sober. Wow, wow, holy shit, I've got a solution to what's wrong with me. He said, if you want to quit drinking and drugging, don't replace the drink with the steps, you go crazy, you go nuts. N-U-T-S, not using the steps. Holy shit. He said, remember we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful, without help, it's too much for us to get a sponsor. Wow. S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor is. Wow. Well, what do I want a sponsor for? Help you stay sober. What do you mean sober? S-O-B-E-R. Son of a bitch, everything's real. That's what sober is. Wow. Because I ain't living in reality when I'm drinking and drugging. You guys taught me that when you taught me about the duck and the eagle story. You know, what makes me an alcoholic, and I ask this question a lot of folk, and they don't know what it is about them that makes them alcoholic. All of us can say we is an alcoholic, but ask them what is it about you that makes you alcoholic, they don't know. Everybody thinks they do know, because they say things like, well, once I start, I can't stop. Once too many, a thousand ain't enough. If when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely. Or if when drinking, you can't control the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. We know all that about alcoholics. You can read that in the library, but it's not what makes you alcoholic. It's what we know about ourselves and what we do because we're alcoholics. But what makes me an alcoholic is what you, the duck and the eagle describe as. It changes my perception of reality. Alcohol changes my perception of reality. It changes me from a duck to an eagle. I go out drinking as a delicate little duck, have a few swift ones, and turn into an eagle and go swooping around looking for prey. It changes my perception of reality. It does not do that for the normal person. I know we all think it does, but they don't, even if they get drunk. I got three sisters and a brother. They're not alcoholic. They don't even like the effect produced by alcohol. Oh, sure, they have a drink, but they don't, they don't even understand why I drink, same as I don't understand why they don't. I ask them, why don't you drink? They say, I don't like the way it makes me feel. I say, how does it make you feel? They say, well, if I have one too many, I feel sick. I say, sick? You've got to drink past that. They don't laugh. Countless vain attempts to drink like other people. You know, I mean, my mum didn't understand me. She didn't understand me as much as you folk have never seen me before, might not see me again. You know me better than my own mum knew me. Every year I used to go on to London, England, see my mum. Every year, no matter what year it was, like this year, just before she passed on. Went home, used to go and knock her up. I used to say, Mum, I'm 21 years sober. She'd say, so is the cat. She don't give me no pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. I'm busy, she says. I'm going to bingo. I fooled her one year, though, because, you know, they make out they don't care, don't they? Mum's allowed to do that, I guess. You know, I went over to London, England, and I didn't go round to her first. I always used to go round to her first, seeing. This time, I think it was year 13. I went home and I didn't go round to her first, but I've got three sisters and a brother, and she heard I was in town, but I hadn't been round to see her. She got all worried and concerned when she was on the phone, wasn't she? She said, he ain't been round to see me, you know. He ain't got drunk because he ain't going to die. Because mums care, don't they? We all care, don't we? We do care. Not that we don't care. We do care. That's what we do. We come here and we care. We care about each other. We care about ourselves. We do things. I care, we care. That's why I'm going to keep coming back. That's why I'm learning this stuff that you taught me in the beginning. I didn't know about it in the beginning. I thought I just had a hearing problem. I thought I just didn't hear shit right. You know? I've always had a hearing problem, you know. Are there any other weird people in here? All my life people seem to say, what is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. You know that? You're weird, you are. Get the hell away from me, weirdo. And it never happened just because I came here. Years ago, when I was a little kid. You know? I used to say, there's something wrong with that kid. What the hell's wrong with that kid? He don't hear shit right. And I didn't realise it, but years before I got to drinking, I developed a manner of being able to change my perception of reality. Later on, alcohol and drugs made it easy for me, but when I was a little kid, people didn't understand it. They'd lock me up and put me in homes and shit. Because they'd say, what's something wrong with that kid? But what would happen was that they would tell me shit, and I wouldn't like it, so I would mentally change it to what I did like, then blame you for having told me. He's weird, that kid. You know? Something wrong with him. And later on, alcohol would do that for me. I couldn't stand the reality that I lived in, and the pain and the hurt and the inner torment and everything else. And when I drank, it changed my perception of reality and made everything alright. Mary in my home group, she puts it as well as I've ever heard anybody put it. She's this delicate little dudette. Badass drunk. She says when she drinks, she feels wittier, prettier, and tittier.
I know exactly what she means. Because that's what alcohol does. Until on January the 15th, 1983, it stopped doing it. And I was destitute in every department, barking at the moon. How long have I got, Russ? 10? You know, I just celebrated May 8th is my clean and sober birthday. But I keep referring to January the 15th, 1983, because that was the last day I drank. I haven't had a drink since January the 15th, 1983. And I didn't come here to quit drinking. I had no desire to quit drinking. I certainly didn't have, you know, any experience of not drinking. I didn't know nothing about nothing. But I came here and I haven't had a drink since. But what in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, this beautiful book, it says, our thought life will be on a much higher plane, for after all, God gave us brains to use. And yes, we're talking about alcohol, and yes, we're talking about alcoholism. But I want to be inclusive, not exclusive. I want to include all the people that also do mountains of drugs, like I did. Now, if you're an alcoholic around here that just and only drank alcohol, I'm glad you're here. If you're the type of alcoholic that just and only drank alcohol, a specialist, you know, I'm really glad you're here, but I ain't no specialist. I'm a chemical gourmet, me. I always drank the drug alcohol, but I never only drank the drug alcohol. I always drank it, but I didn't only drink it. And I could get no recovery from my alcoholism while I was taking any form of mind-altering chemicals. And yes, I'm talking about alcoholism. I was taking drugs, D-R-U-G-S, Devil's Revenge Upon God's Subjects. I quit drinking and didn't have a sufficient substitute and was still doing the other mind mood altering chemicals. And you know what? I ended up completely, totally insane in Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking, but not being free and clear and not having a sufficient substitute. Because I was doing mountains of drugs. And if you're a real alcoholic in here, and I'm a real alcoholic, a fully conceded alcoholic, but are still doing or think you can do any other mind mood or any chemicals, all you'll be actually doing. Everything come out all right, love? Oh, yeah. See, you can get no recovery because you'll be giving God the finger. And I never knew I was giving God the finger. How would I know I was giving God the finger? What, do you think I could work it out for myself? You know, we say lip-flapping party line bullshit around here like it's a self-diagnosed disease. How could I self-diagnose a disease that I'm powerless over and tells me I ain't got it? How could I do that? I couldn't do that. I need you to do that. And I need to, that's why I'm up here today, to risking your wrath of the real alcoholic who don't want to hear about drugs in AA. A guy I sponsored was just talking about drugs in his Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and a well-meaning, at least I hope well-meaning, old fart went up to him and said, listen, young man, we just want to hear about alcohol and alcoholism. Well, I let it go at the time, but I went up to the guy afterwards, the old guy, speaking at night. I said, I'm going to listen very carefully to what you're talking about. And when you mention your bypass operation, I'm going to stand up and remind you, I don't want to hear about it, I want to hear about alcoholism. And when you talk about your kid and his college and your grandchildren, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, I don't want to hear about that crap. I want to hear about alcoholism. Because it's a strange thing how alcoholics want to be ostracized. Want to ostracize, but they don't like being ostracized, do we? See, I could get no recovery from my alcoholism while I was doing any form of mind mood altering chemical. And all the drugs I ever did, I did alcoholically, by the way. And every drug I ever did was prescribed by an alcoholic, me. But I can get no recovery giving God the finger by taking a mind mood altering chemical, because if God gave me the brain he wants me to have, I've got to have some big balls, haven't I, to turn around and say, well, thanks for everything good in my life, but that mind you gave me, I don't think you did a very good job with that, so I'm going to alter and change that mind you gave me with this mind altering substance. What else would you call that for giving God the finger? And we can get no recovery around here giving God the finger. Give me my glasses up, thank you. Giving God the finger. That's why I'm going to stay with you. This is where the power is. This is where, you know, I was brought, and this is where I'm going to stay. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying here with you. you know, and I give my telephone number to you as well. My telephone number, 818, are you sober? 818 area code, are you, like Toys R Us, S-O-B-E-R. 818, not 800, you cheap bastard. 818. 818, are you sober? And I give that because I travel a lot, and wherever I am, people will be able to tell you where I am. And I love the power in this room. I'm going to read out from the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't mean to offend anybody by using the word shit either. But shit is a message carrier to me. S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. Some of you think I'm full of crap, so I wrote a word for you too. Crap. C-R-A-P. Carrying resentments against people. You think that ain't... I'm telling you, we're having a great time this weekend. We've got a great list of message carriers here. You know, like Keith and Paddy and myself and Wayne and Joe. And yet, you know what? A man with over 45 years of sobriety said he wasn't coming here this weekend because we were coming. You know how sick that is? We don't care about who's left. We care about who's left, don't we? Stick here, my friends. Alcoholics Anonymous. Look, A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S, Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S, Alcoholics Anonymous. A life centered on helping others losing complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. That's good shit, isn't it? Yeah. Page 386. Wait a minute, I'll turn to page 286. I want to read this out. Because we've got so much power in this room. We've got so much power right here, right now, to enable us to not have to drink. So I'm staying here with you. I'm sticking here with you. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here with you, like the beautiful book describes. On page 386, it says here, look, fourth edition. I looked up an AA meeting and went there alone. Here I found an ingredient that had been lacking in any other effort I'd made to save myself. Here was power. Here was power to live to the end of any given day. Power to have the courage to face the next day. Power to have friends. Power to help people. Power to be sane. Power to stay sober. That was 7 years ago and many AA meetings ago. And I haven't had a drink during those 7 years. Moreover, I'm deeply convinced that so long as I continue to strive in my bumbling way towards the principles I first encountered in the earlier chapters of this book, this remarkable power will continue to flow through me. What is this power? With my AA friends, all I can say is that it's a power greater than myself. If pressed, all I can do is follow the psalmist who said it long before me. Be still and know that I am God. That's good shit, isn't it? Why would I go anywhere else? I'm staying right here with you. I'm staying right here with you, where I belong, where I bloom, where I'm blossomed, where you carry me when I'm weak, where I can carry you when you're weak. I'm staying here with you. I'm addicted to footprints, man. I'm addicted to the footprints that I leave for those folk who are coming up behind. I'm addicted to the footprints I tread with you here now. And I'm addicted to the footprints that you guys who went before me left for me to follow. I'm staying here with you. I love being an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I absolutely thrill to it. It's the most important thing I do on a daily basis. People ask me what I do for a living. I tell them I stay sober for a living, make money as a hobby. This is the greatest thing I ever desired. I love it, and I'm staying here with you. Thank you for having me. God bless.